Thank you. So I'm going to basically continue where the last presentation left off and talk about what people, in this case adolescents, actually purchase after they see the menus at these fast food restaurants. So my study was a community-based participatory research study. For those of you not familiar with that method, it's where the researcher actually goes and partners with the community, and they sort of basically help define the research question and the research methods and help interpret the results. And so one of my partners here, Ginny Velasquez, who's sitting in the front row, she's one of the adolescents that helped me do this study, and she'll be here to answer questions afterwards as well. I'd also like to thank my co-authors. This was originally done at UCLA, so I'd like to thank them, UCLA and Robert Book and Deborah Conant Rand. And this was funded by the Robert Johnson Foundation Clinical Scholars Program, and I don't work for Subway or McDonald's.
No stocks either.
I'm not going to really go over obesity, but we know there's a big obesity problem. We saw from the previous speaker that a lot of people eat fast food. Americans consume over one-third of their calories away from home. And fast food has been associated with obesity in multiple studies. However, as we sort of saw with some examples, is that fast food restaurants are starting to offer more healthy meals. And my question is when people go into those environments, do they order those healthy meals? Or does all the marketing in the fast food restaurants and before they get there sort of override those even healthy options, and do people sort of ignore them and purchase the unhealthy options anyway? So the biggest example of people offering healthy options would be Subway. And Subway just announced that they have a partnership with the American Heart Association to have American Heart Association sponsored meals. And these are the meals that they're promoting that have the AHA seal. And the question is, do people order these? And I mean, this is the business example of Subway promoting health. And you probably all know Jared. Everyone know Jared. He lost 150 pounds by eating nothing but Subway, basically. And this is clearly a part of their big marketing campaign to get people to come into their store because they're the healthy fast food place to eat. So on the other hand, they have this this other side of their marketing where they're promoting health, but they also have the $5 featured footlong. And for October, it's the meatball marinara. And you don't need any degree in nutrition to look at that and determine whether that is healthy or not. And then just to give you a preview, next month is the spicy Italian, which does have a little bit of lettuce on it. So the question for me is, you know, Subway is sort of marketing two things. It's marketing their health, but it's also marketing their unhealthy items. So what happens when you go in there? So our research aim was to determine if adolescents eating at a healthy restaurant purchase fewer calories in a meal than people eating at an unhealthy restaurant, controlling for socioeconomic status factors. And our hypothesis is that participants will purchase fewer calories when they eat at Subway compared to when they eat at McDonald's. And what we're trying to do is trying to build off some previous research where people had basically collected receipts outside of two different restaurants and then calculated what people order. However, there's a self-selection problem with that type of study in that people going to Subway may be healthier. They may, you know, go there because they want the healthy items, so maybe that's why the calories are less. And what we were trying to look at is really whether the environment infects people when they go into a particular environment. So this is our partnership with the Youth Family Schools Communities Partnership in Action in South LA. And particularly Ginny, Nathan, and Luigi actually really helped me implement the whole study, did a lot of the receipt collection, and did it while they were busy completing their senior year of high school. So how did we do this? So we took two restaurants in the same area, and the way we actually chose these restaurants was me listening to my group of adolescents talking to me. And what they said is among their friends, McDonald's is the place they usually go, and they think it's unhealthy. And Subway is the healthy place, and if they want to go to a healthy meal, that's where they go to get their healthy meal. So that's how we kind of chose the two restaurants, and we chose them in the same shopping center right near the high school. And in comparison to other studies that basically have had people at two different restaurants, we had the same kids go to eat a meal at each restaurant on different days. So we're controlling for sort of all those selection bias factors that happen where healthy people go to Subway and unhealthy people go to McDonald's. And then we determine the average number of calories purchased at each restaurant. So I discussed this already. We sort of, again, approach the adolescents and say, we actually spent months on this, deciding, you know, which restaurant you think is healthiest and which is unhealthiest. They had lots of lists for the unhealthy restaurants, but the only one that was really, they said was definitely healthy was Subway. And we also backed this up by using a NEM score. Some of you may be familiar with this. This is an objective scale where you go into the restaurant and you analyze the restaurant environment, and you give it a score based on how healthy the menu is, the marketing is, the pricing is, all those sort of things. And it ranges from negative 27, most unhealthy, to 63, healthy. And we found that Subway had a score of 41, McDonald's had a score of 22. So on this scale, Subway was healthier. So we recruited through emails, flyers, word of mouth, Ginny's mom calling up a lot of neighborhood contacts to get people from their church and youth groups to come to the store, as well as a little bit of in-store recruitment. And we asked them to purchase a meal at both venues with their own money between 3 and 6 p.m. And so, again, they purchased the food with their own money because we felt like price was a really important thing. You know, these kids have their own money. They're going after high school. If you just gave them money, that would alter their purchases. So we had them purchase it with their own money. And they gave the receipt to the study team. And there was a short post-meal survey that was filled out. And especially for Subway, we went very detailed about all the toppings, the dressings they added, the type of bread. So we were very detailed, especially in Subway, about all the particulars. At the end, after they completed the whole thing, then they would receive a $20 gift card for participating, and they were entered into a jackpot. So we calculated the calories from receipt and survey data. We did a paired t-test between the calories for both meals. And then we did some secondary analyses looking at number of vegetables consumed, sodium consumed, purchased, then we did some regressions for subgroup analyses. So I'll spend a second on power here. This was designed as sort of a pilot study to see if this data could be collected to assess what fast food companies were doing, and if this was a way we can analyze how the environment of fast food places changes as they announce these new initiatives. So when AHA announces this new initiative with Subway, can we put kids in and have them purchase and see if there's any difference in what they purchase? So we sort of used some best numbers that we had from the literature, here they are, but we were sort of, you know, doing the best we could with the power calculation. And our expected difference from another study was 123 calories. In previous research, about 150 calories a day is about the cause of the obesity epidemic. So we felt like we were on par with that. And then if we just look at, you know, differences in different places. So if we compare, for instance, you know, a really unhealthy meal, a Big Mac, large fries, and a 32-ounce Coke at McDonald's to what would be the sort of ideal, more healthy meal at the bottom right from Subway, a turkey breast sandwich and some water and some chips, you can see that the calorie difference here is, you know, basically 1,000 calories. So if there's really one healthy, really healthy environment and people are choosing the healthy environments in that place, we would see a big difference. However, even if, you know, we sort of picked out some of the unhealthy items, we should find, you know, even a few hundred calorie difference or not. So we had 80% power to detect 123 calorie difference at 0.05 with a sample size of 95, and we enrolled 97. We started with 107, 10 didn't complete both sites. So here's our demographics, about 60% male, otherwise not so interesting. We were in a sort of multi-ethnic area of South LA, so we had a lot of Asian and mixed race adolescents. So here's our main results. We found that on average, kids at Subway in this one meal purchased 955 calories, and in McDonald's purchased 1,038 calories. This difference of 83 calories was not statistically significant, and the p-value was 0.11. So it erred towards Subway being a bit healthier, but did not approach our level of significance in our study. Again, this is, you know, as I say, this is a pilot study, so it is possible we were underpowered. But if we compare this to the IOM recommendations for what a kid should eat during a school lunch, which is 850 calories, both places went over this 850 calorie sort of recommendation that is proposed by the IOM. And this was often a lunch meal for the kids, or an after-school meal, or an after-school snack, depending on the kid. So just here's the general distribution of what the calories purchased look like. So you can see a little bit on the right, on the high end of calories, the red is McDonald's, and you see you have a little blip towards the end there, but it's not that great. But there is a little blip of sort of a few higher calorie purchases. And if you go to the other end, there is a little bit more area under the curve at the lower end for Subway. And then I put that line in there again that the IOM recommends on what a kid should have during a meal. So then our other nutrient analysis, you know, again, there's our calorie analysis. From our sodium analysis, we found that they purchased significantly more sodium at Subway than McDonald's, a difference of 320 milligrams of sodium. Both, you know, were close to 2,000, which is greater than the IOM lunch recommendations, which is less than 740. We found that nobody got fruits at either place. In fact, you know, I know Subway has those apples, but I spend a lot of time in Subway for this study, and nobody opened the fridge to buy any apples. In terms of vegetables, significantly more vegetables at Subway, 0.6 servings compared to 0.2 servings or cups, so about 0.4 servings more. And the IOM recommendations are one fruit or vegetable, so neither place achieved that level. And then drinks purchased, we found that people purchased a lot more drinks at McDonald's. So 64% purchased a drink at McDonald's compared to 28% at Subway. And sides purchased, again, a lot more fries and sides added on at Subway, where only about 13% purchased chips or type of side at McDonald's. And we feel a little of this is due to the price. So kids on average spend around $6 at Subway, where about $4.50 at McDonald's. And that was significantly more at Subway. And you could sort of see this in talking to some of the kids. They have about $5 to spend for this sort of meal. And, you know, they got, after they ordered the Subway sandwiches, they said how much it is, and it was sort of already over their budget, and so they didn't order any sides. Where at McDonald's, it's pretty easy to, you know, pick a couple of things, including a drink and fries, and add that without adding on too much money. So we did a bunch of subgroup analysis just for fun because we like playing with data. And we didn't find any significant predictors that would alter this, alter our findings. So there's nothing different about age, mother's educational status, race, BMI, or whether they attended the Subway or the McDonald's place first. So conclusion is that there's no difference that we could find in calories purchased between Subway and McDonald's. Both meals were worse than the Institute of Medicine recommendations. Definitely more salt at Subway, more vegetables at Subway, more sides and drinks at McDonald's, and more money spent at Subway. So again, this is sort of a pilot way to sort of be able to go out in the future and assess what's going on in these fast food places and sort of assess the marketing with a community-based approach. So to me, it's not clear to me from our study that Subway is significantly healthier than McDonald's. If it is, it maybe marginally is. And we think that the higher cost of Subway likely prevented purchasing of drinks and chips. So one of the conclusions maybe would be to just charge more for food, and that may, you know, get better nutritional profiles. But adolescents at both restaurants really purchased too many calories and too few vegetables. And thank you. Yeah, so the question was, how do we not bias the kids towards choosing a healthy or unhealthy meal? We actually proposed to do it deceptively and not tell them this was about food and distract them, but the IRB didn't approve that. So basically we just told them we were doing a study about what kids eat. And that's all we told them. We're doing a study about what kids eat and can you purchase a meal. We're interested in what kids are purchasing in the community. And that was how we satisfied the IRB.